Josh Mansfield is running for Pocatello City Council, seat number 4. It's all the seats are at large in Pocatello, so the whole city votes for all the city council. And he's running for seat 4, which is being vacated by Heidi Adamson. And so there are no incumbents in this race. And so this will be an interesting to watch, race to watch. But Josh, want to welcome you to the program this morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Neil. Julie, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Well, we're 5 days away from the election. And so for those who may not know who you are, Josh, I've been watching your campaign. You've been very, very active on social media. You've gotten a lot of endorsements and you've put forward a very robust effort in this campaign. So as a political watcher, I just want to give you some kudos. You're running a very, very strong campaign as a newcomer to politics, really, at least electoral politics.
And that's true, and I appreciate that. I think one of the most important things about this election has been ensuring that every citizen hears my message and the opportunity then to see how that message can work for them. And so I've worked hard to access them through whether that be flyers in their doors, social media, or attending as many forums as possible. I just want the opportunity to answer people's questions about what's most important to them in the city. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, let's dive into that. You saw this opportunity to run for city council. What were the two or three things in your mind that were the most salient that made you go, I'm going to run for this seat? What drove you to this?
Yeah, during the budget debate, there were some proposed cuts for city employees, and I saw that even if those cuts weren't implemented, they were going to have damaging effects on the city, and they ended up doing so. Yeah. We've already had several key city employees resign because of the talk of cutting their positions and the worry about insecurity. I went to that public hearing and gave a testimony, and shortly after, the fire union reached out to me, as well as several city employees, and they said, we need a candidate for this city council seat, and we want you to run. And so I took the time to talk with different members of business owners, as well as city employees and some union members, about the things that they saw as being most pressing. And, that included protecting our city workers, ensuring that people see those jobs as being some of the best in Pocatello, so that we could recruit the best professionals to help lead our city. But I also saw the opportunity to look at ways that we can alleviate the concern of, the budget on taxpayers. And so I think that I have a lot to offer when it comes to the financial side of the city. And that's one of the primary reasons that I got involved in this race.
Yeah.
There's been some, upset feelings on the current city council. If you were to win this election, Josh, and you go into a council that might have some difficult emotions going on, how are you going to maneuver that?
So I've posted on my social media and talked frequently that I am here to talk with anybody and everybody about the issues that they see facing Pocatello. I think that the first and foremost thing that we need to do is agree on what the problems are that need to be solved. And then afterwards, while I may not always see eye to eye with other members of the council or anybody else who I discuss solutions with, I think that my skill set is one that I have the ability to understand at least the reasons why people are coming from the position that they do. And it creates a level of empathy and compromise that I think is a valuable part of my character and me as a candidate. And the final point that I think is really critical is if the council votes on something, and even if I don't necessarily agree on that vote, we as a council would be making that decision as a full body. And I would stand behind that decision, even if it wasn't necessarily my decision, because that's the way that the city has to move forward. We have to be unified in the decisions that the council makes, even if I don't always 100% agree with those decisions.
Yeah. Josh, I want to ask you, because a lot of people, might look at this. You're a young guy. You're in your 20s and you're running for city council and you've never held electoral office before. How would you respond to people who would say he's too inexperienced and, this being on the city council is a big job? So maybe people who have concerns about your lack of electoral experience, how would you address those concerns?
Yeah, a couple of ways. The first one is that I do have some experience in my business and professional life that I think is really applicable for the city council. I'm the director of operations of a multi-clinic outpatient physical therapy operation, and I handle everything from budgeting to productivity to hiring to strategic planning to growth and development. Basically, as long as it doesn't involve me touching a patient, for which I would be sued because I don't have a degree in that, then I play a part in that. I think that experience is really relevant then for the city council. The second thing is that I don't believe that we're asking city council members to be experts in their field. I don't think any of the city council members are experts in water sanitation or in emergency services. That's not why we elect city council members. We elect city council members who are able to create cooperation between experts in their fields, who are department heads and city employees, and ensure that they have the resources necessary to achieve the goals that we look forward to as a city. And those goals should be ones that are informed by our citizens. And so at the end of the day, I think it's somebody who is able to facilitate that compromise and those kind of ideas that come from citizens and employees of our city. The third thing that I think is actually a benefit is that it may be true that I'm younger, but we have a university here in Pocatello with tens of thousands of students, all of whom are wondering if Pocatello is the place they should stay after they graduate. You know, I can relate to that experience. I understand what it's like to wonder about what kind of housing is going to look like or my job prospects. I understand what it's like to get a job in a field that has nothing to do with my degree, which I think is the typical college experience. I have outreached and met with different groups on campus and university students to talk about how we can incorporate them to be a part of our community, because I think the best advantage of having a university town is having qualified, trained, and amazing professionals who are young and ambitious, who stay after they graduate. And that's something the council has to be involved in. And so I think I bring a great value of that to bringing that perspective.
All right, Josh, we have a listener who sent in a question. I think it's pretty valid, so I'll go ahead and ask it. Your father is the director of public works for the city of Pocatello, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so if you are to win this seat, how do you handle that, having your father be directly underneath you heading up a portion of the city?
That's a great question, and it's one that the Idaho State Journal did a piece on as well. So for anyone who's looking for further answer in this short time, I'd encourage you to go look for that article. But my answers are a couple of things. The first off is he doesn't directly report to the city council. He reports to the mayor. And that would be a concern if I was running for mayor, but I'm not. And so he doesn't report to me. I'm not his supervisor. The second thing is that I, as an individual, don't have any power as a single vote. There are five other people who are there, would be voting as well on any projects that come forth from the Public Works Department. And have the ability then to also weigh in and ensure that there is ethical and accountable decisions that are being made. But the third and final point is that municipal elections can never avoid local interests. You could be voting on increasing access to sewage or other utilities in your neighborhood. When you vote about property taxes, you're voting in areas where you live. When you discuss emergency services or building a new fire station, that could directly impact how quickly they can get to your home. And so it's impossible to completely separate yourself from the interests your interests from the decisions you make as a city council member. So the question is for voters is, do you believe that the city council member can make decisions ethically? And my answer is yes. And I can give you a couple promises to ensure that's the case. First, I will always universally apply my method of thinking to every department. So, for example, if we get a project from the Public Works Department, I would consider the budget. I would then look and ask for citizen input, and I would discuss with other developers or businesses who may be affected by that decision. That's something I would do regardless of whether or not it comes from the Public Works Department, whether that be fire services or housing or other or zoning issues. And so you'll be able to check and ensure that I'm ethically and transparently applying the same standards to my vote. The second thing that I think I can promise to you is that, anytime that there is a decision that would play a significant role, any of the decisions that come from the city council it would be a bigger problem if my father was a developer, for example, because then he would be personally, financially gaining from decisions made at the city council level. And I don't think that's the case at the city, at the public works director, because the projects that he's bringing forth are infrastructure projects. And so when it comes to making those decisions, I will ensure that they're ones that are best for those citizens in that area. And so I think I have the ability to make ethical and transparent decisions, and I'll ensure that every time I do, I'm very transparent in the statements that I make before my vote, so that people are able to fact check me and ensure that I'm being held accountable to what I promised.
Yeah. We're talking with Josh Mansfield. He's candidate for seat 4 on the city council. Josh, last question here, because we are limited on time, and we've asked the mayoral candidates that we've interviewed this kind of question, but Pocatello does not have the highest tax rate in the state, but it's up there. It's pretty high on the list in terms of how high it is. I wanted to ask you, is that high tax rate a hindrance to economic development to Pocatello? And philosophically, where do you stand on a high tax rate? Would it be your focus to get the tax rates down so it's a more attractive place to economically expand a business in the Gate City and also offer some relief to the residents of Pocatello?
And my goal is always going to be to offer relief for the residents of Pocatello. That doesn't mean I'm going to go in and the first thing I'm going to do is, you know, drop our tax levy rate. Like you mentioned, it's not the highest in the state, and the overall control of the city of Pocatello is only about 50% of the property taxes relative to the 5 taxable districts that most face in the city of Pocatello, you know, including School District 25, for example. So I don't think the solution is to go in and just immediately slash taxes, because a lot of times it's difficult to answer what services are you going to cut, and how much does that really give back to taxpayers. I have, though, explored other solutions to alleviating the burden of taxpayers while still investing in the growth of our city. For example, wildland deployment is where we use a team of firefighters, and we rent them out, essentially, to the federal government to fight fires elsewhere in the country. And the federal government pays for those firefighters, for those their replacements, as well as for the vehicle that we give them. And the city of Idaho Falls has made almost $4 million in the past 3 years through this program. Mm. We participate to a small extent in this program, but I want to expand that. And there are other ways that we can mitigate the impact of development on the cost of the city in terms of utilities through infill services. And with smart strategic planning and a willingness to invest in a diversification of revenue sources for the city, we can continue to access the resources needed for a growing city without increasing the burden on taxpayers. Because at the end of the day, we don't have a problem with the city spending money. We have a problem with the city spending our money. And so I'm going to find ways for the city to spend the money without having to increase the burden on taxpayers.
All right. Josh Mansfield has been our guest. Josh, website, social media, how do people catch up with you?
Yeah, the best place is going to be on my Facebook page, Josh Mansfield for City Council. I post updates daily on there. My email, Mansfield for Council, reach out to me, message me on Facebook. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'll be at the Old Town Trick or Treat on Friday from 3 to 5:30. So come out and support those businesses and come talk about some issues that you want to talk about. And let's make that final push towards November 2nd.
All right, Josh Mansfield, good luck in these final days. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Julie. I appreciate it.